Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, the Introduction, Text Number 41. Swapne yatha pashan deham idrisham. Manoratena bi nivishta chetana. Drishta shrutabhyam manasanu chintayam. Prapadyate tatkim epi ya pasmriti. Svapne, in a dream. Yatha, as. Pashyati, one sees. Deham, the kind of body. Idrisham, similarly. Manoratena, by mental speculation. Abhinivishta, is fully absorbed. Chetanaha, he whose consciousness. Drishta, by whatever has been experienced by seeing. With the eyes. Shrutabhyam, and by hearing a description of something else. Manasa, by the mind. Anuchintayan, thinking, feeling, and willing. Prapadyate, surrenders. Tat, to that situation. Kim api, what to speak of. He, indeed. Pasmriti, experiencing forgetfulness of the present body. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Having experienced a situation, by seeing or hearing about it, one contemplates and speculates about that situation. And thus one surrenders to it, not considering his present body. Similarly, by mental adjustments, one dreams at night of living under different circumstances, in different bodies, and begins his actual position. Under the same process, one gives up his present body and accepts another, tatha dahantara prapti. Please repeat. Having experienced a situation, by seeing or hearing about it, one contemplates and speculates about that situation. And thus one surrenders to it, not considering his present body. Similarly, by mental adjustments, one dreams at night of living under different circumstances, in different bodies, and forgets his actual position. Under the same process, one gives up his present body and accepts another, tatha dahantara prapti. Purport. So, this purport is one, two, almost three pages. Purport. Transmigration of the soul is very clearly explained in this verse. One sometimes forgets his present body and thinks of his childhood body, a body of the past, and how one was playing, jumping, talking, and so on. When the material body is no longer workable, it becomes dust. For thus, dust thou art, and unto dust thou return. When the body again mixes with the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, the mind continues to work. The mind is a subtle substance in which the body is created, as we actually experience in our dreams, and also when we are awake in contemplation. One must understand that the process of mental speculation develops a new type of body that does not actually exist. If one can understand the nature of this mind, manoritena, and its thinking, feeling, and willing, one can very easily understand how from the mind different types of bodies develop. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, offers a process of transcendental activities wherein the mind is fully absorbed in affairs pertaining to Krishna. The presence of the soul is perceived by consciousness, and one must purify his consciousness from material to spiritual, or in other words, to Krishna consciousness. That which is spiritual is eternal, and that which is material is temporary. Without Krishna consciousness, one's consciousness is always absorbed in temporary things. For everyone, therefore, Krishna recommends the Bhagavad Gita 9:34, Manmana Bhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru. One should always be absorbed in thought of Krishna. One should become his devotee. One should always engage in his service and worship him as the supreme great. One should always offer him obeisances. In the material world, one is always a servant of a greater person. And in the spiritual world, our constitutional position is to serve the supreme, the greatest, Param Brahma. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Srupahoy, Krishnara Nityadas. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 20:108. To act in Krishna consciousness is the perfection of life and the highest perfection of yoga. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 6:47, Yoginam api sarvesham mankatenantaratmana sharavan bhajate yomam smeyuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he always abides in me with great faith. Worshipping me in transcendental loving service is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The condition of the mind which flickers between sankalpa and vikalpa, accepting something and rejecting it, is very important in transferring the soul to another body at the time of death. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavan tyanjyan dhyant kalevram. Tam tam evaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. The Bhagavad Gita 8:6. Therefore, one must train the mind in the system of bhakti yoga as did Maharaj Amrisha, who kept himself always in Krishna consciousness. Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayo. One must fix the mind upon Krishna's lotus feet. The activities of the other senses will be engaged in Krishna's service. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. To serve Rishikesh, the master of the senses with purified senses, is called bhakti. Those who are constantly engaged in devotional service are situated in a transcendental state above the material modes of nature, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mamajayo vyapacharini na bhakti yogena sevate sadhanan samiti tyaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service unfailing in all circumstances. One who engages in full devotional service who does not fall down in any circumstance at once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus comes to the level of Brahman. One must learn the secret of success from the Vedic literatures, especially from the cream of Vedic knowledge as presented by the Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Because the mind is ultimately controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the word apasmriti is significant. Forgetfulness of one's identity is called apasmriti. This apasmriti can be controlled by the Supreme Lord. The Lord says, mitak smritir jnanam apavanam cha. From me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Instead of allowing one to forget one's real position, Krishna can revive one's original identity at the time of death. Even though the mind may be flickering, although the mind may work imperfectly at the time of death, Krishna gives the devotee shelter at his lotus feet. Therefore, when a devotee gives up his body, the mind does not take him to another material body. Tyakva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti. Rather, Krishna takes the devotee to that place where he is engaged in his pastimes. Mam eti. As we have already discussed in previous verses, one's consciousness, therefore, must always be absorbed in Krishna, and then one's life will be successful. Otherwise, the mind will carry the soul to another material body. The soul will be placed in the semen of the father and discharged into the womb of a mother. The semen and ovum create a particular type of body according to the form of the father and mother. And when the body is mature, the soul emerges in that body and begins a new life. This is the process of transmigration of the soul from one body to another. Unfortunately, those who are less intelligent think that when the body disappears, everything is finished. The entire world is being misled by such fools and rascals. But as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2:20, Ahanyate Hanyamani Sharire, soul does not die, and the body is destroyed. Rather, the soul takes on another body. So the text again. Having experienced a situation by seeing or hearing about it, one contemplates and speculates about that situation, and thus one surrenders to it, not considering his present body. Similarly, by mental adjustments, one dreams at night of living under different circumstances, in different bodies, and forgets his actual position. Under the same process, one gives up his present body and accepts another, taha daham praptir. Interesting verse. Or as Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention and then giving one's love to it. So whether we are conscious or not of what we're doing, generally because we are conscious, we have consciousness, the question is, where are we merging our consciousness? Where are we focusing our consciousness? And when we focus our consciousness, how are we surrendering to what we're focusing our consciousness upon? Just like generally the conditioned soul is the material consciousness. We're quite aware of this body. And according to the situation of the body, when we're aware of it, depending how much we're concentrating on it, we're ready to carry out its demands or its desires. So this is called material consciousness. Every living entity in this world is focusing our attention and trying to fulfill the desires of whatever body it has. Of course, the soul cannot do that independently because all we have is the capacity to desire. But we can desire where we put our consciousness. And we can desire what we do in response to where we're putting our consciousness. In other words, if we put our consciousness upon this body, then naturally there will be certain demands of the body. Every day we wake up, and the body has some demand to eat eventually. And at night, the body has a demand to sleep. Generally speaking, most of us, for most of the time, we surrender to that demand. It's not that the body says, I want to eat something, and every day we say, sorry, we're not going to eat anything. And that's when it's rather mentally disturbed. Generally speaking, we're quite happy to fulfill the desire of the body, the demands of the body to eat. Similarly, when it's time to go to sleep, we're quite happy to go to sleep. We look forward to it. That it's a pleasure for the conditioned soul to fulfill that desire. Now, if we don't fulfill our desires, the body makes us very uncomfortable until we finally are forced to go to sleep. Body goes to sleep, whether we like it or not, whether we're willing to or not. Still, the body works in its own way. The question is whether we're surrendering our desire to the body or not. If that's what our desire is, we're dovetailing our desire with that of the body. Generally, the body works better, and we work better, if we regulate the body, our desires, and therefore at a reasonable time go to sleep, eat a reasonable amount of food to satisfy the senses, etc. Of course, there's also mating and defending. Unfortunately, modern society, people are constantly engaged in either physical mating or mental mating, and always defending, all the time. Everyone they look at, they're defending. She loves me, she loves me not, she hates me a lot. Everyone is constantly looking at everyone, or he loves me not. Whatever, everyone is constantly looking at everyone, trying to ascertain, are they a threat or are they an ally? Are they going to help me or are they going to impede my desire for my material happiness? So this is true, especially when we're awake, but it's also true when we're sleeping. Although we don't seem to have as much control over where our consciousness is going to go, but we surrender. If we think we're a bird in a dream, we surrender to it. And if we see a worm, we might even eat it. Although normally when we're awake, we don't eat worms, hopefully. Unless they're offered to Garuda. So, wherever we put our consciousness, the question is, are we going to surrender? Now, if we put our consciousness upon Krishna, then the surrender is that's how we give our love to Krishna. We surrender. We think about Krishna's happiness in meditation, or we have some service to do, and we think about making Krishna and his devotees happy by this service. So that's called surrender. Otherwise, we do the service, at least we're doing it, or we may just completely neglect the service and go away. That's the worst thing. Or we may do it gradually, but that's not very much surrender. There's some surrender there. When we're doing service, even if we don't want to do it, there's some surrender. And the worst thing is just not to do it, just to get up and leave and not do anything. So the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention, and for that reason we're hearing this philosophy, so that we're aware, where am I putting my attention? Am I putting it on this body for the benefit of the body? Am I putting it in my dreams, a mental concoction, and trying to be happy by serving my mental concoction? Or am I putting my consciousness upon Krishna and trying to become happy by making Krishna happy? We have to put our consciousness somewhere. Now, if we're convinced that we're eternal, we might think that maybe it's better to put my consciousness upon something eternal so I won't be disappointed by happiness and distress. Because as soon as we get material happiness, then we're afraid of losing it. If you have eating an ice cream cone, your favorite flavor, chocolate, because we don't need chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, whatever it is. When you're eating the ice cream cone, there's happiness, the ice cream, and also the ice cream cone, it's a nice ice cream cone. But every lick, you're getting closer to the end. So there's anxiety. Oh my God, it's going away. How can I make this last forever? Maybe I should try to get another one. But I don't have enough money for it. Maybe I should steal some money so I can keep my happiness going. So we're in anxiety. Anything that causes happiness, we're afraid of losing it. And eventually we lose everything, so we're even more distressed from the things that make us happy, because we're not so distressed when we lose the things that make us unhappy. Actually, we feel good when we lose the things that make us unhappy, and we feel distressed when we lose the things that make us happy. So this is a problem in the pure world. But if we focus our attention upon Krishna and actually feel Krishna's happiness, the spiritual energy, then that happiness goes on forever. Because as soon as we get the capacity to focus our mind upon that object again, Krishna's form, his qualities, his associates, the pastimes, then we get even more happiness the next time. The happiness even increases. So there's no regret upon losing anything, because there's no loss, as Krishna says, on this path. There's no loss of a diminution. But in the material field, whether it be in our dreams or in the physical body, there's always loss and there's always regret, because everything diminishes. We can eat one ice cream and it may bring us some happiness, but we eat the next ice cream. But after a while, 3, 4, 5, and instead of causing happiness, it causes distress. The more we focus our attention on the ice cream and surrender to it, try to merge into it, our senses and mind and intelligence, after a while it causes it distress. But if we focus our attention upon Krishna and give our love to Krishna, then it gives unlimited happiness. Nanya deha, deha bhajam riloke, kastan kaman arhate vidyubhudyam ye, tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam, shridya tasmai brahmasokhyam tunantam. So Maharaj Vrishabhdev, he suggests to his sons that don't be like a hog or dog. Because if you tell people they're like a hog and dog, they'll become insulted. They won't hear anything else you have to say. Therefore, Maharaj Vrishabhdev's teachings is in the fifth canto, because most people, by the time they get up to the fifth canto, they won't mind references to hogs and dogs. Otherwise, if you tell people that don't be a hog or dog, they'll get insulted and say, you're a hog, you're a dog, I'm not a hog. But actually, the hogs and dogs, they have the same objective that we have, looking around for some food to eat and then going to sleep in satisfaction. So that's all right. We have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to do so many things in the material world. But there should be something better than that, something higher, namely, tapo divyam putraka yena sadva. Do things that will actually help us focus our consciousness upon Krishna. Because the more we do that, the more we enter into an eternal experience of happiness. So that Bhagavatam is meant to give us eternal happiness. It's not our enemy trying to restrict our sense gratification. It's trying to give us real sense gratification forever. Unlimited happiness, unlimited sense gratification. That simply increases rather than disappears and makes us distressed due to its absence. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? $64,000 question. Simple verse. Okay. Khala Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.